everybody to the call for just a moment. We're going to work on a technical difficulty. We had the video streaming, and all of a sudden it froze. So we're going to pull it up again and see if we can get it to go live. Here we go. All right. We are live and we're recording on the video. Welcome everybody to Tuesday night and our celebration of life. It's great for everyone to be here with us this evening. I've had an amazing weekend. Ramona and I both have. We've had some great leaders. Karen Shumka from California. Excuse me, from Canada. Sorry, Karen. From Canada. Bill Chalmers, an amazing coach from Canada. Bill was one of the first to help Tony Robbins put his material together way back when. And Artemis Limpert from Dallas, a speaker and coach. Amazing people. From when I've had the opportunity, we ate raw for 2.5 days. That was quite an experience. And we've carried that process over into today. It is time for us to take on this frontier. How about you? As we're taking on ourselves. Today we're going to talk about self-esteem. And as we're taking our clay and owning our clay and looking at this clay and going, this clay's got a few too many pounds. We got to trim some of this clay. I'm going to own it, and then I'm going to trim it. We can have some fun with this tonight. Just consider what it is in your life that's the next frontier. What is it that you'd like to take on next? I think this is going to be Ramona's and my next frontier. We've been flirting with it now for a couple of years, and it's time for us to take it seriously. As you get older and you reach that point where you say, you know, we're not going to be around forever, but we'd certainly like to be around for as long as possible, and as long as we're here, let us be healthy. Well, tonight we're going to take on this discussion around self-esteem. Excuse me, everyone. I just swallowed some water and went down the wrong throat. When we're looking at self-esteem, this is the deepest, richest measurement in the assessment. This is the top right-hand portion of the assessment. Just take a look at it, if you would, with me for a moment. There are 6 measurements. This is conversation we have with ourselves, about ourselves, in terms of our own worth. In the measurement whole and complete, we're asking, can we see our own pricelessness, our own uniqueness? And there is a tendency for this one to be orange and sometimes even red, where we're questioning our worth and worthiness. The next one is confident. In this measurement, we're asking, can we see the value of our skills and talents, our possessions, our accomplishments, our contributions, everything that's external, all of these measurable, contrastable parts of our being. Can we see this value? And quite often, this one is under focus. It's orange, and our thought processes want us to compare ourselves with other people and find ourselves short. We might even at some times not only say, gosh, I wish I was like that. We might say, at least I'm not like that. We might even go in that direction. At least I'm not that heavy, to make us feel better about ourselves. This is an interesting measurement. When this begins to be a challenge, we look at the third one, valiant. Now, valiant has been showing up more and more orange in the last few months. I believe, as I've studied the assessments, that what is happening is the bottom right-hand section, where we're doing things because we have to and should and must, and no matter what we do, it's not good enough, and unrelenting, unyielding pursuit of the unachievable, and a clear, vivid vision of where we'd like to be, and we're not there. We have a tendency, when we fall short, to believe that we're not even honoring our own belief systems. I'm not honoring my belief systems. I'm letting my own belief systems down. I'm letting myself down. We can also, if we're in a home-based business, get into a discussion with ourselves that if I'm not having financial success over a period of time, how could I ever tell somebody else they could? It's as if I am violating a personal truth. These kinds of thought processes can be very destructive to our esteem. The next one is peaceful. This measurement helps us know precisely how we're going to respond if someone were to threaten our idea. Now, the number one cause of this is in the bottom left-hand side, analytical, constantly obsessively thinking. I get attached to my ideas. Someone doesn't agree with me. Do I need to sacrifice me for them to be right? Or do I absolutely defend me to protect me? Or can I be okay and let somebody else have an idea? That's an interesting measurement. Deliberate, this fifth measurement. Deliberate's asking the question, okay, what is your motivation for doing this? This is me, this person, and I'm doing something, and I've agreed to do something, and my schedule's so full, I'm reaching that point where I'm going, oh, man, why did I agree to this? Well, we probably did because this thought process wants us to believe that we have to sacrifice our time, energy, and perhaps even our well-being to somehow prove that we're okay. If you've got an orange deliberate, just know you probably have a pretty full plate. You probably have a hard time saying no, and you probably find yourself at times exhausted. It's so important that we set proper boundaries. This is a boundary question. And the last one is unconditional. Now, this one isn't orange or red very often, but when it is, it's important that we pay attention. If yours is, let me wrap my arms around you for a moment and explore this measurement. This measurement is saying, at an intrinsic level, am I willing to protect the existence of me? Me. Or would I be okay if I were destroyed? This is generally brought on when it's orange or red by shame. Guilt being a matter of feeling badly about what we're doing. Guilt is about doing, and shame is about how I'm feeling about myself. I'm actually starting to feel bad about who I am. I've seen this more often in people who have lost a lot of money, position, and it's impacted their families, and they're feeling shameful about it, uncomfortable. We see this when someone has done something privately, secretly, and they just don't... It's just wearing on them. It's a heavy burden to carry. And I would hope that tonight, one of the things you'd want to do is know that this is just an experience. It's prepared you, should you choose, to use it to more effectively serve another person. Then there's purpose in it. There can finally be joy in our journey and much needed healing in our soul. Just know if that measurement's orange or red. Just take a look and say, wow, what is it that I'm feeling so awful about? Is it something that's happened to me? Is it something that I've done? What's causing me to feel shameful? Shame coming from the root word sham, which means a covering. What is covering my goodness? What is covering my genius? What is covering me so that I can't be all that I'm meant to be? So we're looking at these measurements. Whether I feel worth, where I have worth and I feel worthy, I feel good about who I am externally, my belief systems, all the way down the line. Important measurements, because our goal, our objective, the whole objective of self-esteem is for us to be whole and complete. Real, three key words if you want to write them down, real, genuine, and authentic, without the need to impress or pretend or feel ashamed or fear. How often are we uncomfortable or trying to act like there's more than or trying to cover up for? Or we have fear or that shame. All this kind of a discussion that's going on in our mind is just feeling real and genuine, authentic, which we'll talk about in a moment. Dr. Hartman, who did the math for this assessment, said, this is the hardest task in our mortal existence. What's the hardest task? Being real, genuine, and authentic. And they concluded with this, and the highest level of maturity. The highest level of maturity. Maturity is measured, yes, maturity is measured by how comfortable we are with ourself. Do we feel whole and complete, real and genuine and authentic? Can we sit down with anyone, anywhere, and just have a conversation? Be okay, feel comfortable? Or are we kind of reclusive and have this dialogue that if I were to say to you what some of these thought processes are saying to you, it would be difficult for us to be friends. But we allow this dialogue to play in our minds. And I I want to walk through some of the causes, and then we'll walk through some of the things we can do to start to overcome self-esteem challenges. Self-esteem challenges come from four basic areas. The number one cause of a challenge in self-esteem is by far the most prevalent and common. It doesn't mean there won't be some of the others underlying it, but this one is the most prevalent. It's an unmet expectation. It's that simple. It's what drove me to write this book, Today I Begin a New Life. In our bottom section, our right-hand section, we create an expectation of how we'd like our life to be. Life shows up in the middle section differently. We're unhappy with the way it's showing up. We feel anxious and frustrated and frenetic and angry sometimes. And where do we turn? We turn inward. Because it must be our fault. Maybe I'm not worthy. Maybe I'm not good enough. And we begin to play out in our mind. Just think about this. If you have done this before, where something didn't turn out the way you hoped, and so you start going back and playing through the events of your life. Well, it's because of what I did as a teenager, and you know, or I didn't finish this, or I hurt this person, or I did this, or I didn't read that. We start playing through all of the mistakes of our life, justifying that that's the reason why the universe, God, has not given this to us. And we come to the conclusion that God doesn't love us. Maybe even that we're unlovable. That's when that unconditional measurement starts to look really ugly. When we start to feel unlovable. Unmet expectation. If this is a source for our self-esteem challenge, and it's the most common, by far the most common, we change our expectations. We start using our mind constructively. This is why we were teaching mental creation. Not going to go into fantasy and into catastrophe, because what I do when I'm there is turn inward and start blaming myself. Tomahawk. Not going there today. Staying in creation. I start using my mind constructively, getting inspired ideas and acting on them. Totally different impact on self-esteem. It actually builds self-esteem. Because when we get an inspired idea and we act on it and it actually works, we know that we're known. We know and are known. We trust and are trusted. And one of the greatest sources of self-esteem is to know that we matter. We matter. We do matter. When we practice inspiration, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. Not only do we know that we were inspired, but there was another person who needed what we have. Our experience mattered. They've been put in our stead so we can serve them. Our experience matters. We matter, our experience matters. Isn't that kind of exciting? Both we and our experience matter. That's why we were teaching mental creation. Mental rehearsal, inspiration, exploration, problem-solving, planning, goal-setting. Those were really all forms for us to use our mind constructively and to begin to know who we really are, to awaken this inside us. Now, that's the number one cause. The number two cause is comparison. We talked about this last week, our clay. What do? When we're holding this clay, how often are we comparing it to hers and his and somebody else's, and it's falling short. It's less than. It's not good enough. And now we're going to say, we want to choose this clay? I don't want to choose this clay. I already feel bad enough. Well, it's not till we choose it that we begin to recognize the many gifts we have been given and how beautiful this is and how perfectly designed it is for us. Now we take it and we begin to create the most we can with it. And we start by stepping into someone's world. And we listen. We're healing self-esteem. The third and most common cause is damage to what we would call the fragile underpinnings of trust. This is when something has happened to us, perhaps as a child, emotional or sexual child abuse. We've been in a bad relationship where someone has demeaned us. We've had a parent that's terribly unnurturing, and we just feel awful. Sometimes this cause of self-esteem requires therapeutic intervention because some of those things can be so painful. They need to be processed through with a professional who can guide you through those landmines until you're ready now to use it as a reference point. If you're ready, then we taught you the art of connection, where we step into someone's world and we listen, we become safe, and then we ask empathetic questions based on our own life experience. Remember from the Chicago Dream, your character was forged in the furnace of adversity. You know what pain feels like. You can't take back the past, but you can choose to use these experiences as a rich resource to better understand what's happening in another person's life, connect with them. And when we do it, when we use it this way, there's finally purpose in the suffering, joy in the journey, and much-needed healing in our soul. This is what heals our self-esteem, is when we, if this is the cause of self-esteem challenges, we use it as a reference point to serve another. There's finally purpose in it. We begin to heal. Now, we can't do that until we're ready to move forward. And if it's stuck back there in that sack and we're dragging it around and we didn't want to look at the sack, we can't look at it on our own. Get a professional to assist you in emptying that sack and holding it, looking at it. And when you're ready to use it as a reference point to serve another person, then you're ready for coaching. So again, verse 3, unmet expectations. 2, comparison. Taking a look at my claim, comparing it with everybody else's and feeling less than. 3, the fragile underpinnings of trust have been damaged along the way. And again, the art of connection helps us to use those experiences in a way they will heal our soul. And the fourth way is called a secret. It's when there's something in our life that is so despicable to us that it would be embarrassing for people to know about this. These are generally addictions: alcohol, drugs, sex, eating disorders, kinds of things that would be really embarrassing for another person to know. Now, we all have things we say and do and frustrations we experience. It's not those minor things. This is the major pieces that when they're present, we get into a conflict where we present ourselves to the world one way, and secretly we're showing up another way. We don't know which one is us. Am I what shows up in public, or am I this secret, despicable person who has this terrible addiction? And the truth is, we're neither one of these. Our true self is probably closer to the facade we present to the world. We're on our best behavior. We learn to step back and observe this. We become the observer. That's where the healing and self-esteem comes, the observer of this. And as the observer, we now see the addiction as an addiction and not as who we are. I'm not the despicable person. I have an addiction. I'm priceless. I'm unique. I'm a true gift. But I have a habit. I have this addiction. I'm working on my addiction. It's a beautiful thing to see. So those are our four most common causes of self-esteem. So just reflect and ask yourself, as you're looking at your assessment, do I have 1? Do I have an unmet expectation? Is there a possibility down in mental creation? I'm creating an expectation and enjoying the journey. I'm a little frustrated in certain places, so there's a chance that I'm turning inward. Now, where am I showing up? Am I questioning my worth and worthiness? First measurement. Am I questioning my ability? Confident? Valiant? Am I questioning my belief system? Deliberate? Am I working and sacrificing my time and my energy and even my well-being to somehow prove I'm okay even though it's not happening the way I hoped it would? And unconditional, has it gotten so bad that I'm really starting to despise myself? I'm feeling real shame. I feel bad about who I am. Just take a look. Say, gosh, is it 1? If it is, just write on a piece of paper, unmet expectations. Is it 2? Do I do some comparison? Sometimes, most of us, almost all of us, do some comparison. 3, fragile underpinnings of something happened to me. And if so, what was it? You don't need to tell me. Just write it down. What was it? Well, this happened. Okay? And number four, is there a secret? Am I ready to step back and take a look at that secret? Often this takes the highest level of therapeutic intervention. Great programs to help us step back and see the addiction for what it is and begin the work on that addiction. So as we can see, what we've been doing now for all these weeks is actually working on our self-esteem. The art of connection. When we take that stuff out of our sack and we hold it in our hand, we say, is anyone else suffering from a similar wound? And we're wearing it in our heart, and it's a reference point so that we're listening differently. We're hearing differently. We're asking different questions. We're connecting with people. We're feeling their walls come down. Their cooperation and productivity is flooding over us. It's a wonderful feeling. We are plugged into the planet. We are an active participant in the blessing of another human being. That is such a glorious, wonderful experience. The joy that comes from that process is healing. When we talk about using our mind constructively, we trust and are trusted, known or known. And when we act on those experiences, it's a validation. We are healing self-esteem. When we went to being present in the now in passion-driven action, we talked about procrastination. You remember that? We procrastinate, procrastinate, procrastinate. We finally shut off the noise in our head, jump in and get the task done, and we go, wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why did I wait so long? We finally met our genius. We met our genius. Wow. I mean, we're surprised. So when we're in the now, in the passion-driven action, we're spending more time with whom? With ourselves. With our real self. That's why we're doing power sessions. So for at least 3 hours a day, we're bringing all of us, mind and body, in the same place, and we're spending it with us, and we get to experience what's possible when we show up. Now we start to get to know who we really are. Then we have people put on our path who can serve us and who we can serve. Oh my goodness. We start to become more vulnerable, open, less guarded. That's why those are the three characteristics we talked about in the book, Today I Begin a New Life. Because if we'll practice those three, we will actually heal self-esteem. If it's, well, just about any one of those four causes. Now, I mentioned to you that our objective is to be real and genuine and authentic. I'd like to spend a little bit of time with each one of those. I'm going to put you through a bit of an exercise. The word real comes from the root word, or is the root word of the word relationship. It's about connecting with people. It's being comfortable enough to be focused on another person. If we truly are focused with agape love, a heightened level of awareness, on another person, it is not about us. So we don't need to feel uncomfortable, uneasy, unsure. And when we're in this space listening and asking empathetic questions and cooperation is flooding out, these conversations could be so deep and rich and authentic and genuine because we're actually caring. Not about how we're coming across, but the needs of this person. That's being real. So the art of connection is the requirement that satisfies our objective is to be real. To be genuine comes from the word genus, which is genius. That's the root word. It means to embrace our abilities. Now, I'm not sure Ramona's chuckling because we had some conversations about this over the weekend. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to embrace it. But this we do know, that when we don't own our strength and show up in service of others with that strength, we're not only robbing ourselves, we're robbing them of our very best. And we don't want to do that. We're going to want to be genuine, bringing our greatest gifts to the service of others. That's being genuine. Authentic, anthosectic. What that means is I am acting on my own moral authority, doing the next right thing for the right reason, because I want to get to and choose to. Now, if we're in resistance to structure and resistance to authority and we need to be right, and we're out of alignment with this. We can't be authentic. We want to be our very best self, the one we would step back with, the one we are with when we're with our best clients. That's our best self. Do we show up in our best self with other people? That is what we're going to want to accomplish. Authentic, acting on your own moral authority. Now, that can rattle some people. That doesn't mean setting up your own rules for living. It just means you're choosing to follow good things, goodness. You're choosing it. You're acting on your own moral authority. You're not doing it for fear of a God destroying you or striking you down. If you believe in God, you do it because you love Him. You love Him. You treat people with respect because you love them. Not because you need something from them, because you love them. It's acting on your own moral authority, choosing to do the next right thing for the right reason, because you want to. You get to and you choose to. That's a beautiful way to live. When we're in that space, real, genuine, authentic, we have no need to impress. That's going to feel really childish to try to take something and make it bigger than it is, or pretend, play like there's something there that isn't, to feel shame, to hide out and feel bad, or fear, false evidence appearing real, to allow the chemicals to be released in our body and read them and catastrophize and worst case scenarios and live in all that despair. Without the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear. Highest level of mortality. Highest level, of maturity. Now, I'm going to introduce to you, and it's important that if you've got your tool set available, that you go to the tools. These are the intentional creation tools that you'll find on your website. Where you take your assessment. I'm going to an assessment right now. Go to your Intentional Creation Studio. You might need to log in. You go to the homepage of augmandino.com. Scroll down, left-hand side, last option, log in. It'll either bring you right to your assessment results or it'll come to a login page. You'll put in your username and password, the password you selected when you took your assessment. That'll bring up your assessment results. In this green area, there's a navigation bar across the top. It says My Assessments, Creation Tools, Buy More Tools, My Account, talk to an Augmandino coach, tell a friend. Click on Creation Tools. I'm doing that with you right now. Then I'm going to go to quality number six, and I'm going to go to Affirmations. And here they are. Now this is set to music. I want you to spend some time with these affirmations. This is the real you. Now, you may have allowed these other voices to talk, to be a part of, and say things that really aren't true. You may have questioned your worth and your worthiness, your ability, your belief systems. It's time for us to step back. And as we learn to practice intrinsic validation, step into someone's world, use our mind constructively, mental creation, stay present in the now, in passion-driven action. Hear these phrases. Again, this is set to music, and I'm narrating it so you can listen to it or you can read it. I'm going to read these to you. I want you to hear this. Whole and complete. I am whole and complete. I have integrity. That's wholeness, integer, number. I have wholeness. I enjoy being me. I recognize and embrace my irreplaceable value. I am fully available to serve others. That's a great affirmation. Confident. I am confident. I embrace my uniqueness. I own my natural genius and act free of hesitation, doubt, and fear. Valiant. I am valiant. I am true to my own beliefs and values. They are engraved on my heart, shape my character, and guide my actions. Now, if your belief system is is somewhat skewed by whole and complete, that wants something, or excuse to say honorable, let's say honorable down there, where it wants you to be perfect. You can't hold yourself hostage to perfection. We shift that thought process so that you can be true to your own beliefs and values that are balanced and good and healthy. And these are the thoughts that are, or the values that are engraved on your heart that shape your character and guide your actions. Peaceful. I am peaceful. I am comfortable with my own ideas and opinions, and allow others to have opposing ideas and opinions without the need to openly defend mine. And we could add, without feeling like I'm losing me to do so. Deliberate. I'm deliberate. I set appropriate boundaries regarding how I allocate my time and talents. I agree to do things for the right reason. Lastly, unconditional. I am unconditional. I see my strengths and weaknesses in balance. I waste not a moment mourning yesterday's aches of the heart, yesterday's defeats, yesterday's misfortunes. I am unconditional. You want to embrace this one. I also want to introduce you to this. I had a conversation with a couple of clients this last week who were in larger groups, and for some reason they had never really gone to this incredible tool, this Intentional Creation Studio. Mine says Dave Blanchard on it, you know, like, welcome Dave, here's my tool. And in my tool, I can go to the 10 scrolls, and I can listen to Og narrate the scrolls. I can listen to my breakthroughs, Dave's breakthroughs. You can listen to the keys to success. You can download a copy of the scroll. You can download the audio to an MP3 player and listen to Og narrate the scroll wherever you are. And with each one of these qualities, this week I'd like you to go to quality 6, which is self-esteem, and spend some time studying your assessment report. Interestingly, the assessment report goes in tremendous detail. What you had in the original assessment results with the colors, we debriefed that and talked about it. A little 15-second definition. Here's an exciting, lengthy definition. I'll just read this one to you. This is on confidence. Second measurement down. Orange or red, just pay attention to this. Consistently. This is what I do consistently. Remember, this is just a thought process. It's not who you are. It's just the way you've been thinking. This thought process may want you to question or even doubt the value of your appearance, unique talents, accomplishments, possessions, or what you do. Risks. When you listen to this thought process, you may question your ability to measure up on any number of concerns, including appearance, competency, and accomplishments. You may feel uncertain, doubtful, and even insecure. This may be a significant cause of procrastination that may keep you from taking action, solving problems, or accomplishing new or difficult challenges. You may also be tempted to compare your very worst with someone's very best and create unrealistic standards for self-acceptance. At times, you may even be tempted to compare your very best against someone's worst in an attempt to feel better about yourself. When you finally get to a deadline and cannot procrastinate any longer and jump in and complete a task, do you ever say, wow, that wasn't so hard? Or why did I wait so long? What impact is this noise having on your willingness to embrace your natural genius versus being surprised by it? In what ways has this noise impacted your ability to maximize other characteristics of an intentional creator? Because when this noise is going on, there are things on the left-hand side that are beautifully balanced we're not accessing. We're too tied up in our own stuff to be available to open up these great gifts. Spend some time here with this assessment report. Each one of them has the color from the original page and a very lengthy definition that has both the affirmation, whether it's frequent or consistent, or whether it's balanced. For each one of the 6 measurements, then there's the affirmations. There's a section called low self-esteem. And you work your way down, we talk about these tethers that hold us back, the expectations, etc. And then we begin to love ourselves, which is such a key piece. If we don't love ourselves, what matters? This is a beautiful statement from Robert S. Hartman, who wrote about this. He said, self-love is more about reverence for the infinite intrinsic gift of life, starting with your own. It is more about honoring and magnifying the gifts that have been given than lamenting the ones that seem to be missing. By the way, this is all recorded. You can listen to everything I'm reading in this tool. It is more about focusing on contribution to the world than the endless accumulation of things. The opposite of self-love is exemplified by the narcissistic Gaston in the classic Beauty and the Beast. This pathetic character was so self-absorbed that his obnoxious antics repelled Belle, a self-respecting, self-confident, and deeply grounded woman. Dr. Robert Hartman poignantly punctuates the need for this practice. He writes, quote, unless you like yourself, you cannot like anyone else. Unless you feel that you are of importance, nothing can be important to you. You must feel that you are important. You must take yourself seriously. If you take yourself as an accident that just might as well have happened, not happened, if you dislike yourself, then you are lost. You are lost to the universe. You cannot enrich the world. And you have been created to enrich the world. We may not want to gain the whole world, fame or fortune. We do not want to gain the whole world, fame or fortune, and yet lose our own soul. We do not want to miss the mission for which we've been uniquely prepared. We do not want to look to titles, possessions, and performance as the primary means of determining our worth. These things can be taken away in a flash. And I go into a very lengthy discussion of what we discussed last week. I won't read it. I just want you to find it here and review it. Know thyself. Choose thyself. Create thyself. And the fourth one, then we get to give ourselves. That's the Chicago dream. I show up by listening, stepping into the world because they're dragging around a sack. And we're giving from an overflowing cup. Because we've taken our clay, we know it, we've chosen it, we're creating with it. It's endless what can be created. This is such an important piece for us to explore. The last is a discussion called stillness. I've never done this on this call. I've asked people to listen to it. But we're going to do it tonight. As long as you're not driving, I want you just to get someplace that's comfortable and close your eyes. I want to put you through a process. It's called the close eye process. Just for you to get in touch with you, the real you. And if you can just be in this space for a moment. And this particular exercise is on your Intentional Creation Studio, recorded, set to music. What I'm going to do for you is set to music. So when we do this tonight, you say, gosh, Dave, I'd really like to listen to that idea more frequently. Good. Then go to your Intentional Creation Studio, quality number 6, click on the last item in the middle, stillness, and there it is. And you can listen to it. You got your eyes closed? Here we go. We are not our thoughts. We can step back from our thoughts, become conscious, and make different choices. We are not our thoughts, then who are we? Who is the real you? If we choose, we can be the one who steps back and listens, becomes aware of their thoughts, and consciously chooses to change, and then passionately engages in the process of change. As you practice the process of quieting your mind, so you can step back and listen, if only for a few moments at a time, it will become easier and easier to distinguish between the real you and your thoughts. In this space, you can learn how to control your thoughts. If you're ready, here we go. Get comfortable in your chair. Everyone, just get comfortable. and your neck. Just gently turn your head and your shoulders. Now step back and let go of your thoughts. Let go of the need to impress anyone. The need to feel ashamed about a weakness or an imperfection or a past deed. The need to pretend that you're strong or smart or perfect or any other worry or fear or anxiety that you may have brought to this coaching session. Take a few slow, deep breaths. Let that all go. Usually, this is the time when your thoughts will get very active and busy. From one, you may hear advice about how dumb or silly this activity may seem, like Dave's trying to hypnotize you. Another thought may try to convince you that this is nonsense and you can't live without your thoughts. Another may advise you that you should act frustrated or tired or disinterested or preoccupied and check your email while Dave's doing this. Another may argue that there is nothing inherently wrong with you letting, there is, will argue that there is something, excuse me, inherently wrong with letting your mind be quiet so you can experience being you. The most insecure thoughts would advise you that you are giving up control of your life, when in fact you're finally taking control of your thoughts. Acknowledge your thoughts. Thank them for their input, and then let them go. Remember, you are not your thoughts. You are the observer of your thoughts. Take a few slow, deep breaths. Notice the air filling your lungs and then being expelled. Again, let go of any need to impress or pretend, any need to feel ashamed, any need to fear. If your thoughts are still trying to get your attention, know that they're very uncomfortable with the idea that you can exist without them. Just relax. How often have you allowed your thoughts to control you? If you're having thoughts, notice what they are. Don't judge them. Just notice them. Step back from them and let them go. Now take a few more slow, deep breaths and continue to relax and observe. Quiet your thoughts and notice when they jump back into action. Notice them and then just let them go. There's nothing to do. Nothing to try. Nothing to get right. Just relax and observe. From here, the need to impress others will seem shallow. The need to pretend, immature. The need to feel ashamed, wasteful. The need to fear, childish. Notice your body, your fingers, your toes, your eyes, and your nose. Don't make any judgments. Just continue to relax and observe. Once you find this place, you know that you are not dependent on any mortal or any material thing to be whole and complete. From here, you can simply be you. Real and genuine and authentic, with no need to impress or pretend or feel ashamed or fear. So just relax in this moment. If your thoughts show up, acknowledge them. Let them go. Just relax. Let go. For a moment, enjoy the quiet. I'm going to invite you to come back to this place often, this quiet place. In Eckhart Tolle's book, or Tolle, depending how you pronounce it, The Power of Now, he talks about even in a foxhole, you can be at peace because you haven't been hit by a bullet. There's all kinds of stuff about fear of the future, even 5 seconds from now, but we can be at peace in a foxhole. So whatever fire is raging around you, you can pause and have this moment. Again, what I shared with you is recorded and set to music. So you go right to your computer, go to your Intentional Creation Studio, click on Quality 6, last item, Stillness, and listen. Just be with it. Something you might want to do on a more regular basis. So healing self-esteem, just take a look. Was it a 1, a 2, a 3, a 4, or a 1 and a 2, or a 1 and a 3, or a 1 and a 4? What is the cause of self-esteem challenges for you? Take a look at the qualities we've been sharing, art of connection, mental creation, physical creation, discipline, structure, joy in the journey. Which one would serve you? And we're going to start next week at the beginning with the art of connection. When we start next week, come back with the absolute intent of applying the principles of intrinsic validation to work specifically on that measurement and self-esteem. The way we'll work on self-esteem, I'll share it with you tonight, but this will give us a purpose for the next time through this training. Every time we do something, we're working on that self-esteem, we're feeling increasingly healthy, whole and complete, real, genuine, authentic. We're becoming more comfortable. As Og said, I wake up in the morning with a desire to overcome the fear which I once knew at sunrise. And I'm happier than I ever believed possible in this life of strife and sorrow. And this week, while you're practicing the principles that you've learned so far, spend time with scroll number 4. That's what we'll study this week, scroll 4. I'm nature's greatest miracle. I'm here for a purpose. That purpose is to grow into a mountain, not to shrink into a grain of sand. Henceforth, I will strain all of my muscles to become the highest mountain of all. I'll apply my muscles and I'll strain my potential until it cries for mercy. We are nature's greatest miracle. Intrinsically, we are priceless no matter what we do or have done. Let us begin to own this by going back to the beginning now with the art of connection and working through each one of these principles. Now you've got some more tools. You've got the affirmations of self-esteem. You've got the stillness audio for the health of self-esteem. You've got some of the pieces to help you and calm you in those moments of crisis to get you grounded so that you can show up better in the service of others. Well, thanks for being with us tonight. I've enjoyed this conversation. I do hope that it served you, that perhaps you've seen something in this process that you haven't seen before. Because if we're walking around uncomfortable, nervous, withdrawn, overcompensating, it's not working. It can't serve our relationships. It certainly can't help us build our businesses. So let us work on this piece by going back and working through the qualities of an intentional creator. I'll be there with you, excited to watch you stretch and grow and become real and genuine and authentic, the highest level of maturity. Well, thanks, everybody.